Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning.
It's wonderful to see you all this morning. Always is. Some years ago, and I don't want to say how many necessarily, but I became enamored of a certain car that I wanted at 17 years old. And I wasn't acquainted with Unity principles yet. It was just an idea that I would see it, make a mental picture of it. It seemed to show up, this car, even in, not just in the physical, but I would see things about it in magazines or somebody would talk about it. It was sort of like the law of attraction in a very rudimentary form. I was focusing on it, and I found people that would reflect that to me in places that I didn't necessarily expect. It was a green Buick Wildcat, and it was something that I just had to have, and it was a certain amount, and I was working as a stock boy at what you all may remember, the locals, Handy Andy, before HEB and Albertsons and all that. I was there and socking that money away as fast as I could, and it seemed that I came to a place inside where I wasn't hoping that I was going to get it. It kind of crossed over, and I knew it was coming. And I knew who had it for sale because I'd bothered them for a long time. I'd say, don't sell it till I do something. What will you do? I'll give you $5 towards it. What does a 17-year-old know about that? But $5 is the right of first refusal. Anything to hold on to it. But it stayed. The car was there, and it came the day, that wonderful moment that I was able to go up, put the money down, and buy it. Now, after the initial driving and loving it and washing it and polishing and doing all that, I also became aware quickly, and also I was made aware by my father and mother that this was a responsibility. In other words, you're going to get insurance on it. This was way back before you had to have insurance where you would get ticketed. It was just a good idea. And I thought, insurance, I didn't think about that. And then how I was going to budget for gas and repairs, that's why I started working on cars, so that I could do this without having to go to the mechanic. And what happened was, is that although I loved it, it became sort of a noose around my neck. And then what happened is it had its first breakdown. And pretty soon I was looking at ways to get rid of that and get another. And that's strange, isn't it? We spent all that time for about a year, and then it has an issue that I don't know how to deal with, and I think, well, maybe it's time to put this forward and I'll look elsewhere. It's been said by psychologists and some ministers that we have hungry eyes, and that many times our eyes are bigger than our stomachs. And talking about the idea of yours by divine right today, I want to tell you that everything that you want and that you desire and love is available to you through your thinking. Now, I'm sure you know that, but I'm also going to say be careful of what you wish for, what you think about, and what you pray for, because it has a tendency to actualize. Sometimes I think it is true that Dr. Emily Cady, in writing Lessons in Truth, saying that we feel we don't necessarily want the item itself as much as we want the feeling that goes with it. And I will add to that also the process of obtaining something, of going through it, is also sometimes so exciting and wonderful, and we think, I'll never get through it, and then we look back on it and we say, that was a wonderful time. I remembered my commitment, I remembered my joy, I remembered my devotion towards this project, and it was a process. So you see, when you get something that you want, nothing wrong with that, and we certainly teach this in Unity and in New Thought in general. But I also want to say, be careful how you wish, what you wish, and be sure, as I always say, to put the divine insurance policy on it, this or something better for the highest good of all concerned, including myself. That way we trust inner wisdom to choose for us, or at least to help us in ways we don't know when we're saying we want something and we don't necessarily know all the responsibilities attendant to that. I found that out when I got married. I wanted to get married, and there were also responsibilities attendant to that. With every good thing, what I'm saying, there's always a price to be paid. A change of attitude, a change of mind, sometimes a change of location, something that interrupts the flow. We tend to think that we get it and it's just like this. But there's always something, always a number of somethings that come with something new. So I'm going to ask us to press our reset button this morning when I talk about yours by divine right and say, let's clear our minds of the preconceived notions of what we say we want right now, perhaps materially, perhaps in, you know, any number of ways, and say, let's make our minds sort of a blank canvas and ask ourselves, what is really the thing that we want that we already know is ours by divine right, because it says in Scripture, seeking first the kingdom and all good things will be added unto you. So you see, you don't have to beg a reticent God. You don't have to cajole, plead, or wheedle a God like this. You have a God who says, I give you choice in an infinite ground of being and a finite number of years so that you can use this wonderful thing between your ears that I preside in and create a life. So looking at it through that prism, I would hope we would be a little bit more responsible in what we think about. And remembering that it is true, what we think about, we bring about, that thoughts held in mind do produce after their kind, that we live in a world that is reflective of what we think. I've said that angry people live in an angry world, happy people live in a happy world. And sometimes the two overlap, and it's like oil and water, it doesn't really work. You see, there's always the attractor factor. Have you noticed that certain people tend to hang together with others? Those that are a little upset by things tend to gather into upset groups. Those who are positive and happy about things tend to congregate that way. That's the nature of energy. That's the nature of attraction. Now, fortunately or unfortunately, however the case may be, about 10 years ago, a very sincere author named Rhonda Byrne decided to put forth our principles in a book called The Secret. And what she postulated was that all we have to do is think about it and be on the same wavelength as others who are thinking these same things, and we would have it no matter what. As a matter of fact, we didn't even necessarily have to get up and do the legwork. We'd have it. I understand that thought. I don't disagree with the basic premise, but I think we're missing something when we don't realize this creation is a process. If you look back in your own life at the things that you've acquired, achieved, worked for, you may remember the process as something that was really wonderful, lovely to be remembered, to be honored. Getting the thing, whether it be the car, whether it be the house, the job, is a goal in itself, and we say to ourselves, well, now I have that, what next? How does this look like? What does this look like? How does this work in my life? What am I going to have to do now to accommodate the thing I wanted? So you see, to choose wisely, I think, means to take all the information you have at your hands available right now and leave yourself enough wiggle room so that you are open to what I call serendipity, God's coincidences, or the timing of things that happen in the flow of life. In other words, what I'm saying is don't be so wed to one thing that you miss five or six other things that were there for your own good. You see, we notice what we love, what we think about, what we fear, and what we detest. Have you noticed the emotions that are attendant to that? The things we love, they lift us up and light us up inside. Those things that we really can't stand or despise, we have a lower energy and we say, don't want that. That is charged, supercharged. Those two polarities of want and stay away are very similar in a way, although one vibrates up here and one down here. It is still the activity of the power of God and the power of choice within our lives. So I might ask you all today, how many of you all ever got something that you wanted that you wish you didn't get after you had it? Hands? Yeah. And what happens is you spend a lot of time then trying to adjust your life in another direction to encompass either getting rid of this or trying to transmute it into something good. So when I talk about, good for you rather, so when I talk about yours by divine right, I'm going a little bit further than what has been called the name it and claim it theology, or even more crudely, the blab it and grab it. And this has come from a system of thought that is not peculiar only to metaphysics. You'll notice it in the charismatic movements. Some of the preachers like Kenneth Copeland, and it goes back to E.W. Kenyon, who said that by word of faith we can have anything we want, and it's God's good pleasure to give us the kingdom, which is absolutely right. They were using our stuff in their movement. But it's also our right to choose wisely. It's our responsibility to choose wisely as we can with the facts at a given moment. The wiggle room that I talked about earlier is simply this: to realize that when you attain something, when you get something you want so much, that you also have the right to deal with that in a way you might not think about when you're wanting it so much. In other words, I should have thought and tempered my enthusiasm about this car with the idea that it would need insurance, that it may need fixing, something may break down. It wasn't all going to be the moonlight and roses I thought it would be. And certainly in a more important reference, sometimes many couples get together saying, it's all perfect. We only see the love we have in each other. That's wonderful. And then a year or so down the line, or sometimes a month or so, the first fight happens. And you say, what am I doing married to this person who does this? Especially the toothpaste or the toilet paper over the end or raiding the icebox at 3 o'clock in the morning. These things that we say, I didn't know that about you. And then all of a sudden you question the decision that you made. In other words, I'm saying step back, be enthusiastic, but be enthusiastic enough to choose in favor of your highest good. And I believe you do that through meditation, contemplation, and not only visualization. Visualization is important because we are seeing people. We see things and we do have hungry eyes. But the contemplation, the idea that what happens when I really get this and I'm going to receive this and I'm going to step back and take a look at my readiness to really work with what I've asked for. We don't want to think of that in the romance of the moment. Sometimes it's sort of like we have the great dinner and we sit there and have the wonderful fellowship afterwards, and then we go and say, who's going to do these dishes? We're not thinking about dishes in that moment. But it's still part of the dinner, and the dishes are still part of life. I call these dishes of life the things attendant to the choices we make that we didn't necessarily expect or think about at the time. Why? Because it's just not very romantic, and it's just not something we want to think about when we want. So I think we can look at truth from this perspective and say, yes, I have the right, by divine right, to have what I want, to choose the life I want. God gave me the ability to choose and gave me principles upon which I can stand like a rock. God is good, loving, everywhere present. Prayer avails things. Prayer is talking to God, and our actions create our reality. I gave you the five principles of unity right there, and I don't think any of us in this room disagrees with it. But I do think it calls us to be responsible creators so that we don't look at these wonderful principles or this wonderful church and say, well, I did that, but look what happened. I didn't get what I want, and I don't like the way that works. I'm leaving. When all this happened is it was a misuse of the principle to begin with. It was, let us say, salted with our desires and our egos and our personalities and all these things that we've created through our lives that have that act as a filter for what comes in that's new. So pushing this reset button, I'd ask you today to think about your highest ideal or something you want, whether it is a material possession or the type of person or relationship you wish to be or have. And in that great divine ground of being, in that place that is yours by divine right, you do get to choose. But you're also asked to choose wisely as you do this. You're asked this by the part of you, your higher self, that knows. You know, it's been said that the secret sits in the center and knows, while men stand in a circle and suppose. So if we act on the knowledge that we have and don't pretend we don't have it because of the thrill of the moment, and we step back and take a good look at what this means for us, then things come into focus more clearly. Then we may fine-tune this desire for something else. In other words, if it is a car, it may be, well, one that has better mileage or one that has a different rating. Or you see, we begin to get inspiration, or what could be called serendipity. I call it the guidance of God, instead of being wed to this and only this. Don't hear me say that I don't believe in visualization and getting the things you want. I'm just asking us to be responsible creators, because each choice we make is linked to another and another and another, and our lives are made up of those choices. So when we look back from where we are now and we see things that upset us or that bothered us or that moved us in the wrong way, usually we want to tell a victim story, but we can go back, if we're very honest, and say, I can see how my not looking at this produced this, my not wanting to see this gave me this, my not looking well at what this all encompassed brought me this. I mean, there are some really funny victim stories that are true that I've read out there. Some people who were saying, I was driving home after just a couple of beers or drinks, and a tree was right there and hit me. These are the people who say these kind of things to the insurance company, or that I kissed her and she gave me a disease and I'm suing her for it. What disease is that? Well, we'll go somewhere else with that. But these are victim stories we tell ourselves so we escape responsibility. So we don't mind being the choosers or the creators, but then we run afterwards if it doesn't work out and say, look what happened to me vis-a-vis somebody else or something else. You see, what I'm trying to do this morning to remind you is that you are a powerful creator in your own right. The right of yourself to choose what you want in your life is a very, very special and a right given only to us. Those that walk, of us that walk on 2 feet and are given the mind of God to create and craft our destinies. I'm going to go a little deeper here and say, I don't believe it's an accident that we're born where we are. I don't believe you're here and you're in America by accident. We're here because of the energy systems, because of the things that we have created, perhaps in another life, or perhaps if you just want to say it by chance, I think anybody would say, we're here. And so we operate within the sphere of what we have in front of us. In other words, it's going to be different for us than it would be somebody around the other side of the world. You see, the energy or the karma of the places around the world are very different. There's even such things as energy columns, lights. The light of God shines differently depending on the people's collective consciousness and sometimes unconsciousness. But I think each one of us would agree that this country here that we're born in right now gives us the greatest opportunity for self-expression, for expansion and freedom of thought. So we're here, no matter our age. We get to choose. We have an ability that a lot of people around the world don't have. We have a freedom that a lot of people don't have. And regardless of what you think about politics right now, this country is still the place to be, because you can still decide what you want and by and large go after it and get it. So as we reset and we think, and I know you've probably done this in your mind as I've been talking, maybe filtered through some things that you think about that maybe could be framed differently that you want, remember this. As you create this new vision, you will also tend to promote that. And as you promote that, you will allow what comes into your life. CPA, create, promote, and allow. These things are expressions of our choice. What I'm really saying is, I don't want us to run from accountability behind some place that we think is safe, and we shrivel up and die a little bit because we didn't think it through, We didn't listen to the God-uttered truth that was inside us, and we ignored the signals that came to us over and over again. We get excited. It said inside all of us is a little boy and a little girl. And I don't know that we ever lose that, and I don't know that I want to lose that. But I do want to keep that child in check. And I do want to be able to parent that child with the best choices that I have at my hands right now. So what's yours by divine right to begin with, most importantly, is choice. Your freedom of thought. As far as I can tell, nobody compels you right now to think a certain way against your will. What may compel you to think a certain way is your ego and your choices up till now and what you've created as a personality that says, I can't do this, I'm not talented in this, I better not try, I'm scared. Any number of things that we think really represent us and don't necessarily do. You can see life a different way. Every spiritual teacher talks about reaching out for new life. Every discipline of the Christian church that I know of says that it's God's good pleasure to give you the kingdom and that as you think, so you are. There are different ways of expressing this and different ways of walking through it. But basically, some of us need to be regimented in this. Some of us want to be free thinkers. And there's all kinds of spaces in between. But the truth is, we still want to live our life, whether we do it through the permission of a cleric or an authority, or we claim our own authority. I guess you know I'm a fan of the latter. I believe that each one of us has not only the ability, but the responsibility to create the best life for themselves. Because when you do that, you're going to touch other people, and they're going to see it, and it's going to be paid forward in ways that is like a ripple effect that enriches all of us. But if you make a decision that's against yourself for whatever reason, you will also feel that happen, those domino blocks, I call them, falling of negativity and stress, and you will also sort of like give to the pool of collective thought that lower energy. You see, it's always a balance. It's the yin and the yang. Nobody gets out of this world without problems. Nobody can say that they weren't ever challenged. But they can say those challenges can be the best thing or were the best thing that ever happened to me because I learned who I was through them. See, it's great to have the car, it's great to have the job, it's great to have the mate, but it's even greater to know who you are, why you wanted that, what it means, and what it says about you. You see how I bring it back to you? It's not because I'm selfish and self-centered, it's because I know that only by making the best you can you give that great gift of yourself to somebody else. If two halves meet, it does make a whole. But when two wholes meet, wow. Think about your own uniqueness, the own wonder of your personality, your soul, your true personality, the one that is the filter through what God says about you. That you are beloved, that it is the pleasure to give you the kingdom, that as you think you are, these wonderful things that are represented, that we take for granted right now, represented by us. We get to choose. We get to make our lives what we want. And even if it hasn't been the way you want right now, you can up till now, you can turn that around for your own good. It's all in a decision. You see, Louise Hay said something that I thought was simplistic to begin with, but I later came to agree with it. She said, happiness is only a thought away. And I thought, well, no, you've got to write some stuff down, or you've got to do some exercise. No, really, it's really a thought away. You can change your mind if you're willing to give up your story that you're telling yourself and others about how bad it was. We tend to cogitate and ruminate on that rough stuff. So if we let that go and say, yes, happiness and new life is a new thought away, what am I going to think about and what does that look like? That's magic. That's the new life I believe that Jesus talked about. Think about what was the right, the divine right of the prodigal son. The father had given him everything. And he decided to run the other way and spend his money and riotous living and wine and food women's song, whatever it was, and ended up in a pig trough and said, I messed up so bad, all I can do is feed the hogs for the rest of my life. And finally said, I just need to talk to my father. The father of this man got hold of this news that his son was living like this and said, no, that's not what I want. That's not what I wanted for my child. And when that son made the decision to step up and claim his sonship of his father, the king, the father met him with open arms, ran to him, and said, this is my son. Welcome home. I give you the fatted calf. I give you the cloak. I give you the things that represent my love because you were lost and now you're found. That story that is told in parable form, which really literally means, parable means above reality, para and bull in the Latin, that Jesus used, is a truth about God. If it's anything's true about God, it's that, because we see that being enacted every day. We've seen people turn it around. We've seen people make new decisions, and we've seen life work out when new choices are made. I'm asking you to believe in that. I'm asking you to believe in that story. Even if you feel you messed it up, you can always turn one thought away back home to the Father that lives inside you and never could leave you and never would leave you for an instant. And then comes the last thing that I think is the most important part of all. It's faith. Faith is the ability to trust in what is not seen for that which is. In other words, to say something is mine by divine right also connotes the idea that I have faith enough to, in the process, to reach out and take it. Or I have faith enough in the process, or faith enough in me, that I can have a new life and it can be this way. That's a big, big lot of confidence you have to have in yourself to do that. But I told you that when you believe in yourself, you're believing in the God who made you. And that anybody who tells you you're separate from that is wrong. Just simply wrong. God lives in you and me and expresses that way. There's nothing you have to beg this God for. There is nothing you have to feel guilty about in front of this God who knows you, who loves you, who has you as an idea before you were born and all the way to the end of time. This is the most exciting thing that I can ever think about talking about, because it always talks about the newness and the richness and the wonder of life. I ask each one of you to step back from your story. Step back from the concept you have of yourself. Let go the image you have of yourself as this sort of person and look at what's available to you in front of you, even those things, and most especially those things that may scare you. Inherent in those things are usually what we need for growth. And if you hurt, and if there's times where you feel like it's just a little too hard, take a break. Step back. Meditate. Feel that love inside you. Let God care for you. God becomes real to you at the point of your need. God is not just cold principle. God is the warmth of the heart. God is compassion, love, every human emotion we have. It's just that we tend to misuse those emotions and blame it on God. If we meditate on it and we think clearly about it and we give our best attention to it, we'll know how to use these precious tools, these precious God-given tools for a life that works for all of us. I give thanks for you. I know your choices and best choices are yet to come, that your best life is yet to come. Why do I know that? Because of faith. The faith that is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things unseen. You can't see an idea and you can't see love, but you can see the results of those things all around you if you look. There's two unseen things that I've just talked about that you know are real. Here's a third one, your own inherent divinity. Whereas you may not trust it now, grab onto it. Even if you have to fake it for a little while, it'll become real to you. And then you'll get what I'm trying to say this morning. You really are a beloved child of the Most High, loving God. And everything is yours by divine right, because you are a child of the King. Go forth and have a wonderful week. And so it is. Thank you.